Well, good afternoon. What a blessed thing it is to be here today. What a blessed thing it is to be alive, to have breath in our lungs, to be together as sisters in Christ, to get to open up the bread of life and eat of it today with you. I was overcome last night sitting in here thinking about the many, many people that are in this room that mean a lot to me. There's a lot of people in here that have been through some highs and some lows with me, and that bonds you to people, and I don't know a lot of you, but before I get really started, I have two shameless plugs, so here we go. The first one is my husband and I direct a family camp every year, so if you're looking to go to camp, and it's not in the summer, and it's as a family, we got you. This takes place in Northeast Texas in the city of Maud at Camp Ida. It is for families. It's geared towards families. We have lessons designed from speakers to talk about the efforts in the home, our roles in the home, what we need to be doing, because ladies, our families are under attack. Our families are under major attack, and so we need to be building them up. And so we designed this as a way to bring families together and to encourage them. This year we have Gage Coldwater. Some of you probably know him. He's with the Forest Hill Congregation in Memphis. He's also over the Manna Project. So him and Kelly are coming and going to be our speakers. We've got some wonderful food. So mamas, if you don't want to cook for a few days, we got you. There's some wonderful cooks. She's in this room, and her husband is here as well, and they are going to feed you well. So there's several of us in here. If you don't just want to come talk to me, I can point you to other people that also attend Endurance, but I wanted to give this plug because it's needed in the brotherhood. So it's worth the time off work if you have to ask it. The second is Jeff Miller. A couple of years ago at family camp, we had Jeff. Most of you know Jeff about all of his science things. And I do too, and he's phenomenal at all of the science things, and a lot of it's way over my head, and he always dubs it down and talks real good to all of us so we can all understand. But him and Julie have put together some parenting books, and I have two of them that I'd love to give somebody for free if anybody just wants them. If you're, maybe you're on the struggle bus, maybe you're riding the struggle bus, maybe the struggle bus is running you over, and you need some help. These are available. I want to talk about them. He brought these lessons to us 2 years ago at Endurance, and they're great. And they're just a wonderful way. He goes through the different roles in the family as God has designed it, and he does a great job. And so I can't hit a lot on his things that he talks about in these books today, but I did want to mention them. So, back to our lesson. I'm honored to be here. Like I said, I know some of you in this room, but the majority of you I haven't ever met. I've met a few people this week. But I haven't met you, but here's what I do know about you. I know that you have purposed to be here. You have prioritized to be here because you want to grow. You want to grow spiritually. You want to be a better mama. You want to be a better grandma. You want to be a better friend, a better coworker, a better human. And certainly you want to be a better child of God and a better Bible student. So I commend you. I know that things like this aren't easy sometimes to come to. You have to rearrange schedules. You have to drive. You have to fly. You have to take off work. Your husband had to take off work, whatever. And so it tells a lot about you that you're here and that you're participating and you're listening. And so I wanted to commend you for that. And like I said, there's a lot of other things. It's summer. You could be doing so many other things and you're here. So way to go. And I know we've already heard some wonderful lessons presented straight from God's Word on some heavier topics, but much needed in the sisterhood. And I pray that this lesson, that we can learn from it too, as we study the right way to do things, the right way to be consistent with things. So, to God be the glory. You know, whenever an enemy is able to attack by air and land and sea, it's really hard to defend. It's really hard to defend against that attack, because if they're coming at you from air and from land and from sea, they're coming at you from every possible direction there is. And I don't know about you, but it feels today like God's people are being attacked by air and land and sea. It feels like the world, like the devil, is coming at us from every possible vantage point. It seems like God's word is being attacked by air and land and sea. It seems like the home, as God has designed it, is being attacked by air, land, and sea. It seems like God's will for us on this earth, what we're supposed to do, God's expectations for us, are being attacked. by land, air, and sea. Every day. Over these last several years, it certainly seems like God's moral standard is being attacked by air and land and sea. And you think about the moral compass of just this nation, and it's been turning and it's been changing for quite some time to where I would say I'm not even sure there is a moral compass anymore. Where morality of those that we interact with every day, at work, at school, on the ball field, at the store, they just don't seem to have a care. And there's been some lessons presented this week about these things, about several moral issues, fornication, pornography, homosexuality, profanity, gossip, backbiting, lying, modesty, drinking, lasciviousness, and covetousness. And these ladies that presented are true soldiers of the cross. And they presented, what does the Bible say about these things? Because, ladies, as sisters in Christ, as Christians on this earth, we are called to stand in the gap. Because, frankly, nobody else is going to do it. We need to stand in the gap to defend. We need to stand in the gap to be consistent with the morality of the Bible. Not of our emotions, not of what so-and-so says of the Bible. The Bible and God's morals are being attacked every day from every possible place. And maybe your tendency, maybe my tendency might be to, well, just kind of let up. Maybe our tendency is to compromise. Maybe our tendency is to be, at best, inconsistent. But we cannot afford, ladies, we can't afford to compromise standing for God's morals and consistently teaching them to our children, consistently living by them is too important. It's too important for the church. It's too important for our homes. It's too important for our children's, our grandkids, our nieces, our nephews. It's too important to just stand still, to just stand silent, and certainly it's too important to just be at best inconsistent. So, what do we do? How do we remedy inconsistency? I mean, you think about that word consistent, right? We understand. Think about it in your life, right? Maybe you love a certain coffee place. You are consistent. You consistently order the same drink, right? You go to the same hairdresser. Why? She's consistent, right? We understand that. Right? What about a sports team we are consistently loyal to no matter what? We understand those things. I'm not saying those things are wrong. I'm just trying to get us to understand. We understand consistency when it comes to things that have absolutely nothing to do with our spiritual lives. But what about consistency when it comes to eternal things? Things that have an eternal consequence, whether good or bad, right? And as Glenn Colley says, how you doing with that? How you doing with that? You know, every single January, gyms across this world are packed. And by February, they're not. And the difference between those two crowds, it's not discipline. It's not intelligent. It isn't genetics. It's consistency. We live, ladies, in a culture that celebrates motivation. Instagram reels, YouTube speeches, the get after it energy of people doing really hard things with epic music behind it in slow motion. And I get it, right? I love a good motivational push as much as anybody. But here's what I've realized over time. Motivation is a spark. Consistency is the fire that's going to keep you warm when things get cold. So while I do hope to motivate you today, I even more so desire to give you some very practical application on how to live more consistently, but especially when it comes to teaching our children. Especially when it comes to teaching our children about God's standards. And ladies, I'm certainly not perfect. My daughter's sitting up here. She can attest to that. But as the old phrase goes, the largest room in the house is the room for improvement. And I by no means claim to have all the answers, but God does. And God's word is full of examples that we are given of people who displayed consistency. people who did really hard things, people who were persecuted, people that stood for God when they were being attacked by land and air and sea. So, what I'd like to do for this session is I'd first like to go to a wonderful Bible example of a champion of consistency. And I want to take a few points, and then the latter half, I want to spend giving you some very practical application on how we can consistently stand for God's morals, consistently teach them to our children. So, turn with me to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. This extraordinary prophet is described in a couple of different various ways in scriptures. He's listed alongside Job and Noah because of his righteousness and his wisdom. That's in Ezekiel 14. But in the wonderful book that bears his name, he's introduced as a youth and of the royal family there in chapter 1. You move over to chapter 5, he has the ability to dissolve doubts. Moving on to chapter 6, he possessed an excellent spirit, and he was faithful. Don't we want those things to be so with us? But one of the most admirable qualities of Daniel is his consistency. He spent, ladies, all 70 years in captivity. All 70 years, one kingdom fell, another kingdom rose to power, rulers came, rulers went, and there's Daniel. And he's constant. He's constant. Chapter 6 of Daniel. Let's read what the Bible tells us. Chapter 6, let's go to verse 16. Daniel chapter 6, verse 16 reads, "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy service continually, he will deliver thee." Now drop down to verse 20. "And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thou God whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" So even the king, ladies, even the king who cast him into the lion's den admired his relationship with God, pointing out Daniel's consistency, pointing out Daniel's faithfulness. And consistency, isn't that what we want in all areas of our life? Right? It's why we, like we said, we keep going back to that same hairdresser. It's why we go to the same restaurant. We order the same food, right? We want that in our children's umpire and referee, right? We want them to be consistent for both sides. And consistency, even more so, is what we need in the kingdom. It's what we need in our homes, because God is consistent. James would tell us in James chapter 1, verse 17, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." So God never changes. When people tell you something in your life, you want to know you can trust them, right? We want people to be consistent. You want to know what they say is actually going to happen. But we live in a world full of what? Inconsistency and unmet expectations, right? But God, the God of the Bible, is not like that. God always keeps his promises. He always hears the prayers of the faithful. The books of James chapter 5 verse 16 tells us that. God always wins. So, doesn't he have a right to expect a people who are consistent, no matter the circumstance, no matter the pressures that surround us? Because we live in a world that's much like the lion's den, isn't it? Right? It's dark. There's dangers around every corner. The devil's roaring like a lion, 1 Peter chapter 5 tells us. So how are we going to survive? What are we going to do? Consistency. Consistency is key. Listen to me. Small. Every single day decisions. Every single day decisions that when put together over time help to form habits. Help to form a habit of holding, in our case, what we're talking about this hour, God's moral standard. The world, ladies, sells us a lot of lies. A recent speaker at a women's retreat I went to said it this way. The world is a very convincing liar. a very convincing liar, and we must be diligent to not give in. Why do you think the Bible's full of verses that say, don't be deceived? I mean, others deceive us, but ladies, the Bible tells us, don't deceive yourselves. We deceive ourselves so much, and one of the lies that we are often fed, and then we often believe, is that there's results without effort. Right? You see those before and after pictures? We're currently building a home. And yeah, I mean, you think about those before and after pictures, but what you don't see is what? The sweat, the hard work, the sacrifice, the discipline behind any transformation. But here's the truth. Lasting change. You want lasting changes in your home? It's going to come from staying consistent. It's going to come from staying firm day in and day out. So let's talk about Daniel. Let's talk about some characteristics he displayed that helped him to be consistent. Number one, decide early. Decide early. Listen to me, ladies. Consistency is not won in the heat of the battle. I'll say that again. Consistency is not won in the heat of the battle. When Daniel learned about the new prayer law that was put into effect, look at verse 10 of chapter 6. The Bible says he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime. This is chapter 6. Turn back with me to chapter 1, right? Let's remember the context here. Daniel was taken as a youth, right? Daniel's taken as a youth, captive. Where? Babylon. If you don't know about Babylon, it was awful. It was a pagan land. It was terrible. They did terrible things, right? So when we have a man living in, as a youth, a very, very, very difficult society. The Bible tells us in verse 8 of chapter 1, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of one of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So we have Daniel here making up his mind that he would not defile himself. This was chapter 1. As an 80-year-old man in chapter 6, the decision was already made. We have Daniel showing us that purposing in your heart means purposing beforehand to do something or to not do something will help you to make that decision to do or not do something. What about you? How are you doing with that? The thing about purposing in our mind, which we know is our spiritual heart, is that you do it now, before temptation comes. Because if you wait till temptation comes, we get all emotional, right? We don't know what to do. It's in the moment. It's all of a sudden. There's pressure. I'm like, I don't really know, right? I wasn't ready for this. And the likelihood, young ladies, listen to me, the likelihood of you making the wrong decision, so much higher. So much higher. And so when we purpose in our heart, in our mind, now, it's made up. I don't have to make that decision in the moment. Whatever comes, I'm going to do God's will. I'm going to do what the Bible said. So, just a few things, examples, because I could go on and on and on and on about all the moral issues we talked about. Let's just talk about two. How do we purpose in our heart and be consistent when it comes to entertainment? All right? How about entertainment choices? And notice I said the word choice. We choose what we are entertained with. It is a choice. You do not have to do something to entertain yourself. Right? Are we waiting? Are we waiting till we're in the middle of the movie? Are we waiting till we're in the middle of that TV show? The middle of the book? The middle of the song? Are we waiting and be like, no, is this actually appropriate? Oh, now I'm invested. I like this book. I know these characters. Oh, no, what? I want to know what happens. Right? See how faulty that can get us? Right? We have resources available, ladies, today. Right? There are websites like Common Sense Media. You can look up what the contents of a movie is. You can put filters on your TV. You can put filters on your movie. You could just not read that book. This coming from somebody who doesn't really read. I get it. I understand. There's good books out there. But we don't wait. We don't wait till we're in the middle of something. We purpose now. I'm not going to entertain myself. I'm not going to entertain my family with things that are immoral. Colossians 3:12. Tells us what? We set our minds. Mr. Terrence talked about that the other night, right? there's a lot that happens up here. We set our minds on things above. That's righteous things, not unrighteous things. How about modesty? I'm not going to go on and on, but are we waiting? Are we waiting till we're in the middle of shopping? And then you're like, oh, but it's so cute, and it's pink, and it's whatever, and I'd look so cute in it, and right now our emotions are involved, right? No, we set the standard before. We decide before we go shopping. We decide before we pack that suitcase, this is the standard, right? We talked about this in Jenny's lessons. We don't get to let location decide, oh, does God's moral standard apply here? That's faulty. It doesn't matter if you're at the ballpark. It doesn't matter if you're at the beach. It doesn't matter if you're at Walmart or here, right? Or if it's a special day, like Miss Jenny talked about. God's modesty rules apply on every day in every location, right? We decide now. I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to stay consistent. And we can go on and on and on about all the moral issues we spoke out this week, but here's the bottom line. Everyday decisions are made simpler when you've made the decision. And what is that? Matthew 6:33 tells us what? Seek first the kingdom. If I'm seeking first the kingdom and I'm worried about the kingdom, then every other decision is just going to play in that, right? Beyond just moral issues, right? Should I miss services? I don't have to make that decision. I've already made the decision beforehand. Should I respond this way to this person? Should I post that? I decide I'm going to seek first the kingdom. And I let every question after that just play into that. Number two, be aware. Daniel was consistent because he was aware. And here's what I mean by that. As an official and a foreigner, Daniel certainly, his life would have been on display. Right? You've ever heard the term fishbowl? He would have been in a fishbowl, right? When Darius sought to reorganize the kingdom, he planned to make Daniel in charge of all the rulers. We know that, though they sought to destroy him, verse 4 of chapter 6 tells us this, they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither there was any error or fault found in him. Listen, ladies, that means Daniel didn't have one skeleton in his closet. He didn't have one, ooh, now I got to delete that post. He didn't have one hot mic moment that he was embarrassed about what he said. They concluded in verse 5, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it again against him concerning what? The law of God. So even Daniel's enemies recognized his consistency. He had conduct that matched his calling. We would say this, he practiced what he preached. He didn't just walk the walk, he talked the talk. Ladies, as mamas, as grandmas, as friends, as cousins, as aunts and uncles, right? Or not uncles, there's no uncles in here, as aunts. Opportunities. The opportunities we have are either won or lost on consistency. They're either won or lost. We need to be aware that our inconsistencies can become another person's excuses as to why they won't follow God. Let me say that again. Our inconsistencies can become somebody else's excuses as to why they won't come to the knowledge of the Bible. People are watching. Our children, our grandchildren, our friends, our nieces, our nephews, they're watching us. We certainly don't ever want someone to say, well, if you're a Christian, why do you listen to this music, watch this TV show, go to that movie, dress this way, drink? I mean, we could go on and on and on. We don't want that. We need to be aware as well that our conduct can be a wonderful tool for evangelism. Here's what I mean by that. Think about in the book of Daniel. Darius, in chapter 6, verse 24 through 27, right? It helped him. Ladies, we're exiles in a foreign land. We are. We're on display. We have to be aware of the great opportunity come about us. My husband once was able to study with a coworker simply because the coworker verbalized to my husband how different he was. At work, when they would eat together, he prayed before his lunch meal. He didn't make crude jokes. He didn't cuss. And the coworker noticed that, and he asked him about it. That's an open door, right? Daniel took that, his name is Daniel too. He took that opportunity. He had those conversations and they were able to study the Bible because of that. You never know the power of influence that you have, but people have to be able to see it, right? The power of standing out. At home, are you consistent enough, mamas, to where your kids know how something's going to play out? Or are they like, are we going today? Are we not going today? Are we doing this? Are we not doing that? Are they wondering? Or is it a constant? Are you consistent? All the moral issues that have been discussed over these last few days, God has already set the standard. We don't have to wonder, right? And we set the standard because God sets the standard. We're called to be different and then allow those differences to show enough that people can see it, right? That's what Daniel did. And he did it on the daily, consistently. And people noticed. A phrase that I think we need to normalize in our homes, ladies, is this. We need to normalize the phrase with our children, if you won't fit in. You won't fit in. We are Christians in a foreign land. We will not fit in. 1 Peter tells us about it, doesn't it? Chapter 2, verse 9 calls us a peculiar people. We're not going to fit in. One preacher put it this way. We're all square pegs trying to fit into a round hole world. It's not going to fit, right? You could say we're in the land of misfit people, right? And the sooner, mamas, the sooner we can help our kids understand this, the sooner they will realize that this world, it's not my home. It's not my home. I'm just passing through. Number three. The third thing Daniel did is to never fear. Because Daniel was different. We spoke about this. He stood out. He was kind of a sore thumb, right? He was outnumbered at one point 122-1. The odds were certainly against him. His fellow rulers, chapter 6, verse 22, the Bible tells us, accused him. Punishment. Punishment for disobeying the prayer law was to be what? Cast into the den of lions. Now, I don't know about you, but would that tempt you to conform? Would that tempt you to maybe just close the windows when you prayed? Would that tempt you to maybe just, you know, say the words, I'm not going to close my eyes, I'm not going to bow my head? But when Daniel was brought out of the lion's den, the Bible tells us no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. The temptation in persecution, the temptation when our little bitty old feelings get hurt, is to give in. Is to give in. But the Bible tells us to never fear. The psalmist writer will put it this way, Psalm chapter 56 says this, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. We must live the same consistent godly lives even in the face of persecution, right? I don't think we're going to be thrown in a lion's den, right? But there's some metaphorical lion's dens of this world, and we all know that. We can have attitude that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. Chapter 3 of Daniel, verse 17 says this, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. And then in verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Daniel chapter 3, 17, 18. God has the power. We know he shut the mouth of those lions. And the lions in our lives look like worry. They look like fear. They look like doubt. They look like discouragement and certainly persecution. But we have to trust. We have to never fear. You know, Daniel was only kind of mentioned in the New Testament one time. It's not by name. But the passage in Hebrews does speak of those who by faith shut the mouth of lions. Chapter 11, verse 33. And it was a consistent faith at that. So Daniel, he decided early. Consistency is not won in the heat of the battle, ladies. He was aware of his influence. That helped him to stay consistent. He was aware of that, and he never feared. He never feared. All characteristics that we too can embody and should be working on as we strive to consistently do the right things. Now that we've looked at this superb example of what consistent behavior does look like, I'd like to take the remaining half to do some very practical application, to offer you some ideas, some advice, maybe some examples. You might know of some of these already, but maybe I can reinforce them in your life. And the list I'm going to give, certainly not exhaustive. If I had more time, I certainly would add more. But I did want to provide ways on this list that certainly will help you, help your children, help your grandchildren, stay consistent when it comes to professing to be godly, but also to standing for God's morals that He's defined. Before we get to that list, do turn with me to Deuteronomy 6. I'd be wrong to not talk about this in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6, you know, in context here, we have Moses, and he has just told the people in verse 5, we sing a song about this, that he wants you to love God with what? Our entire being. The Bible tells us there in verse 5, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then in verse 6 and 7, the Bible reads, "And these words which I have commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by thy way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Ladies, if the only time we are talking about God to our children is when we are in this church building, our children and our grandchildren are going to think, well, God only lives here. God doesn't live in our home. God doesn't live in our car. God doesn't live when we're out hiking somewhere. Verse 7 tells us the word diligent. We are to diligently teach these things to our children. And that is something, ladies, that you do on purpose. It's not just going to happen. We do it on purpose. We put effort. We put thought. We put our emotions. We put our time. That's how you diligently do something. One of the number one ways that we can consistently teach our children about God's moral standards is to have daily spiritual conversation with Him. I'm not saying it's from sun up to sun down. We all know that's not life, right? But I'm saying daily. Daily spiritual conversation with your children. Deuteronomy 6, we just talked about, that shows how important that is, right? One of the best avenues that our family and I have found for that is through Bible time. Bible time. If you yourself, maybe your children are grown, but if you yourself aren't having a daily Bible time or a family Bible time, I do want to encourage you to do that and to begin that, a time set aside each day to talk about spiritual things, to focus on spiritual things, to help align your children with what the Bible says about certain things. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to share some resources with you that we use for our family Bible time. Now, I'm not saying you can't just open God's Word and teach from it. I'm not saying that. That is an absolutely perfect thing to do. What I'm trying to give you is a couple more resources for you. Those of you who aren't married yet, who don't have children, take note. These are fun things. You can also take this into your life. Maybe you babysit. Maybe you don't. Have those times with kids that you're around. All right? So, the first five I'm going to talk about are geared more towards, that will lean towards these moral issues, these resources that I'm going to speak of. And then the last of them, I'm just going to kind of give you some ideas. Okay? So, let's jump in. Again, ideas to open up conversation with our children about spiritual things. We need to make it comfortable, right, in our homes. So, the first book is this. This is called That We May Have Hope. This is put out by Caleb Colley. It's a 52-week study. I'm not saying you have to do it for 52 weeks. I'm saying you want to pick this up once a month, use it for family Bible time. Maybe an issue comes up, you want to talk about it. What it does is it's a character study. 52 people in the Bible, that there's people that did great things, like Daniel. There's people that did awful things, like Judas. That's the one example I came to and that I wanted to share with y'all. And what it is it gives a little bit of information. That's not Judas. This is Judas. That was Mary. It gives some information about the person. It gives passages to go to. So read about where is this person found in the Bible. And then my favorite part is this. There are practical lessons, bulleted list of practical lessons. And then there's discussion questions. And I know that's sometimes where we struggle, right? We think, how do we make this actually applicable, right? So for instance, for Judas, here's one. Human life, this is a practical lesson, after talking about Judas, you can have with your children. Human life, in our own person and in others, is sacred because it is made in God's image, and thus it deserves respect. Ladies, we need to be teaching our children, God loves everybody. And I know there's sin in this world, and I know there's people entangled in this sin, and it's hard sometimes to really dig deep, but we have to love because God loves, right? We have to love because God loves. And so what a great thing to talk about in your home when you can point them to truth in the Bible. And so another thing, I'll give you one of these discussion starters. And they have days on here. You don't have to follow that. This is just, these are just examples. Judas gave up the Lord for a relative penitence. At what small prices do some people sell out the Lord today? How can we remain devoted to Him despite whatever offers the devil might make? And then there's some verses you can go to. Wonderful discussion starters to have in your home so that you can point them to the things the Bible has to say. So that's one resource that we may have hope. They have all kinds of different things you can purchase with this, cards and a timeline, all kinds of things. It's great. Next, this was mentioned yesterday, I think, in Jenny's lesson. AP, World Video Bible School, GBN, has tons of videos. Okay, so they have videos about everything. But they have a lot of videos about moral issues. And sometimes for Bible time, we turn on and we watch one. And then after it's over, we discuss it. And we talk about it. And we let those polished, wonderful videos that these men have made to be our discussion point. It's great. So topics like abortion, overturn of Roe v. Wade, those of you who have littles, I understand that would be difficult. So they have these wonderful things on all these wonderful creatures that God's designed, and it brings it back to, you know what? If this is a grand design in this creature, guess what? A grand designer had to make that. Pointing your children back to creation, to God. So there's wonderful videos. So sometimes we do that as Bible time. A friend of ours, Gage Coldwater, who is coming to speak for Family Camp, came out with a set of books, so there they are. They're broken down into chapters. I would say these are probably for older kids. You don't have to just read them and that be your family Bible time. It could be. Hey, I want you to read this page, and then we're going to talk about it tonight, right? But let's look at that first one. If that's not a moral issue in our society today, teaching boys how to be biblically masculine, right? That's great. I'm so thankful that he's come up with a book like that because that's needed in today's society. There's a book about temptation. All of those things we've studied this week are all temptations for people out there, right? So this is a resource. Again, write it down. Look at it later. Kyle Butt has these two books. This is probably for middle school and high school kids. This talks about things like the inspiration of the Bible that examines the existence of God, things that are being put into children's minds to doubt. Right, the one called Always Be Ready. It's to help children and teenagers to be confident, to be bold, and to be loving. Right, there's so many skeptics out there, and that can permeate into our children's minds. And so it offers, again, conversation. All of this is just to help you to have spiritual conversation, to help you and your family stay consistent. Next. The Collies have come up with this list. It's called What I Want Them to Know. I do have some paper copies for those of you who want to just take one home. This QR code will take you to it. And the reason why I put it here, not all of these are moral issues, but they came up with this list and they were like, this is it. This is what I want my children to know when they leave my home. Right? And it doesn't have like bulleted points, but for instance, there's one on here. All beverage alcohol should be avoided. So you are given that topic, but pointing your children to things in the Bible that they can go to when they leave your home and they're presented with that. Maybe they never have. Maybe nobody has ever butted heads with them about something. They need to know. You need to give them ammo. You need to give them truth. They need to be able to go to a verse, go to a book. I'm not saying they have to have it all memorized. They can have it written down. We all have phones in our pocket and Google. Other things. Denominationalism is not a biblical concept. That's something I want my children to know before they leave our home. Another one. The viewing of pornography is an addictive sin that must be avoided at all costs. So that's why I put it in this moral issue one. There's lots of moral issues on here that they've come up with. But it's a wonderful resource. So they're up here if you would like them. And I can talk to you more about that if you'd like to. Now, the rest of them, I'm just going to kind of go through really quickly. These are just other ideas we do for family Bible time. Again, the main point, have biblical, spiritual conversation with your kids daily. AP has Discovery magazines. Mamas, if you don't subscribe to this, this is a monthly magazine that they send to your house. And so we just open this, and this is usually what we do for family Bible time. And we read it. And my kids are 15 and 12, and we still love them. They're great. They're polished. They have topics like aliens. They have topics like Goliath. They have topics like, is this the reasons for people that don't believe in the Bible? So there's all kinds of topics. They have videos linked in there. It offers, again, time for discussion. And we don't do this. Sometimes it takes us two nights. And there's always also fun, like, puzzles and stuff in the back. So, anyways, it's a good resource. Check it out. AP also has these. I know that a lot of people already know about these, but I wanted to bring them up because this is why. How awesome. When we were growing up, my brother, I didn't ever collect him. My brother had baseball, football, basketball, all these. He had all these facts memorized about these people that has no eternal bearing on his soul, on my soul, right? But how cool. A way for our children to memorize 365 characters or events that they've come up with. And sometimes, maybe use this as family Bible time. Tell your son, tell your daughter, hey, go study this person, and tonight at Bible time, I want you to bring it. If they just read this, isn't that just beautiful, though? I mean, even if they just read that, right? They're learning about the Bible. All right. Other science books AP has, great resource. I got to skip through. Defending the Faith, Bible says they have more than just commentary in here. There's sections, like there's in the book of Acts, there's a section about racism. So there's great things in these Defending the Faith Bible Study Bibles. So if you want to look through mine, you're welcome to. Sometimes we just open the songbook and we sing. Have you ever, I mean, do your kids know what it means to raise their Ebenezer? Do they? Talk about that. Talk about, bring meaning to the songs we sing in our everyday worship service. Go through the songs. Go through the words. Talk about what that means. It's old English, a lot of them. I get it. It's hard to understand. Help them to gain meaning for when we worship. So if you don't have a songbook, I bet your elders would let you take one home. So just ask them. Sometimes we go out, we sit under the stars. We talk about creation. We talk about how mighty our God is. We circle everything back to spiritual conversation about God. Sometimes we play Act It Out. So it's also called Bible Charades. It's a fun game. We still enjoy doing it, even though my kids are older. It's great. It helps them to learn stories in the Bible. Sometimes we play 20 questions where you think about a character in your head and you have, the other people have 20 yes or no questions to try to guess it. This has helped my family memorize the timeline of the Bible more than anything. Because if you pick a character in the Old Testament, okay, the Old Testament's big. So we've learned to ask questions like, okay, were you before the flood? Are you after the flood? Are you during time of the judges, the kings? That helps them to familiarize themselves with the Bible and love the Bible. Sometimes it's service projects. I can't go into this because I'm out of time. Sometimes we just sing songs. Hannah's Hundreds is great for that. I've got lots of tunes and little jingles I'd love to share with you. But anyhow, next thing to help is provide opportunities for sharpening. Here's what I want to say about this. Here is what I want to say about this. You need to be providing opportunities for your children. You need to be putting them with other people who hold God's standards where you hold them, which is what the Bible says. Listen, ladies. Listen. We will drive our kids hours. Hours for a ball game, for a ball practice, for ball pictures, for music recitals, for theater performances, for doctor's appointments. Why would we not? Why would we not drive them to go be with other people that want to help them get to heaven? We need to be thinking about that. Help your children stay consistent by helping them sharpen themselves with other Christians. Number three, evangelism opportunities. I could spend the whole time talking about this. It's very important to me. How are our children going to know that it's important to us? Children are going to sense that something is wrong if all we do is talk about the world needs the gospel, the world needs the gospel, the world needs the gospel, and then they never see us doing it. They never see us knocking a door. They never see us having a Bible study with someone, right? One of the latest Bible studies, well, it's been a few months, but that Kendall helped watch the little boy, right? Cooper came sometimes too, right? But you have to provide those opportunities. If you never door knock, strap your baby to you, grab your stroller and go, right? Let your kid hand them that flyer. They're not going to say no, I promise. Your kids are too cute. I promise, right? You got VBS coming up, go knock doors. Even if it's nothing scheduled with your congregation, just go. Just go, right? We do a new movers program. If you don't have that established at your congregation, guess what? Open the Zillow app. Go to recently sold properties. Dub it down to 30 days. And guess what? You got some new movers. I understand it's probably going to be people that are moving within the city. I get that. And that's fine, but every so often, you're going to find a family, and they, the last few ones we've knocked on, and they're new to the community, they moved from Alaska, Michigan, like all over, right? They just wanted to find a small town, and there they are. We've had some great conversations just standing on porches, inviting people to worship, and giving them a basket full of popcorn. Like, it's been great, right? The last one we went to, the lady had a question and used some really big words, and my husband had to say, I don't really know what that means. Can you explain it? And she did, and she was basically asking about leadership. Can women have leadership in the church that we attend? So guess what we talked about at Bible time that night? We talked about that. That's a moral issue. That's prevalent in today's society. So it offered that opportunity. Involve your children in all of these. I know this list is inexhaustive, and I want to end with this because Priscilla's taking all my time. Be a Jochebed. Be a Jochebed. And here's what I mean by this. Build a boat. Build a boat and protect your children from today's pharaohs. We all know about Jochebed. Exodus 2, she built a boat. Pharaoh wanted to destroy who? Baby Moses. And she built a boat and she helped protect him. The pharaohs today are strong. They're mighty. They're powerful. They're out there. We got girls going into boys' bathrooms. We got boys going into girls' bathrooms. We got children's movies depicting immorality, boxing it up so nice and pretty, handing it to our children. We've got evolution being taught in our schools. We've got requirements of immodesty put on children to participate in the sport. We've got pharaohs getting our children to love activities so much that those activities are in direct conflict with the church's schedule, and certainly with the church's purpose. We got to build a boat. We got to be bold. We got to be consistent. And we got to build a boat. So be a Jochebed. It is said that it's only two generations, and then you're just forgotten. Maybe three, if you're lucky. Two. Two generations, and then I'm just a stone in the ground, and people probably aren't going to be talking about me. So what are you doing? What are you doing so the link in your home, in your house, in your future home, ladies, is not broken? Be consistent. Stand for God's morals. Thank you.